Tired of the same old sports analysis? Then you need the SMQBs podcast. They're five attorneys, they're sports fanatics, and they're ready to make their case. Welcome to Sports Talk with an Edge. It's Milk.
I mean, what are they going to do? Release me? Come on.
Rooster.
I celebrated earlier today with a couple of margaritas and a Pacifico.
And House.
Hey, listeners, this is Rooster. Before we get started with episode 215, I just wanted to take a minute to thank our sponsors. For the second year in a row, I'd like to thank Assembly Software, which is the seller of Neos, cloud-based software case management program, and also Digital Law Marketing websites. Digital marketing for law firms, the best. I can't tell you how many clients we've gotten since we signed up with them. And our pals at Injury Board, injuryboard.org, best networking site for plaintiff's lawyers in the country. Guys, we got Milk and House with us tonight. How you doing?
It's the 215. It's not episode 215. We are in Philly now. It's the 215.
You're not in Philly.
Welcome to the K-Lot.
Oh gosh, K-Lot episode.
Milk, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man.
Milk's a little preoccupied, listeners. He's got two boys getting ready to play some playoff baseball.
That's right. It's a big night tonight for the Pomacillo Royals team. Good luck to them.
28 mile per hour fastball coming tonight.
Let's start it out with our typical who you bring into the bar segment. People of interest out there you'd like to talk to. Milk, who are you bringing to the bar tonight?
I am bringing Scottie Scheffler on the week of the PGA Championship because he's the one man who stands between my good buddy Rory McIlroy winning two majors in a row, who has dominated at Quail Hollow in the past, and it's all on Scheffler to beat him. I'm really, really got all my chips in on Scotty this week, so I need to know how he's going to take out Rory. I do not want him winning two in a row.
What do you think, House? Who are you bringing to the bar?
Well, I'm going to have to sneak him in because I'm pretty sure he's underage, but I am bringing one Cooper Flagg to the bar this evening because all eyes are on the recipient of Mr. Flagg this evening. Tonight's the NBA draft lottery. So you're saying there's a chance the Sixers are number five with 10.5% chance to land him. But odds are that one of the Utah Jazz, our own Bison's Washington Wizards, and the Charlotte Hornets are all at 14% odds. It's interesting. I mean, he has been dominant in the college arena, but I mean, people are putting this on par with Wemby. And I don't think he's going to change the fortunes of teams like that. There's no question there's not a close number two after Cooper Flagg, but this is a big night. There's no question that's whoever gets number one is not giving this up, and they are getting Cooper Flagg. And it's a big, big night. I am rubbing my rabbit's foot.
Yeah. So I'm going to take to the bar the marketing gurus behind the new Chuck GPT ad. Charles Barkley's ad.
What is that?
I think it's hilarious. You haven't seen this, Milk?
No.
Oh, man, you've got to see it. Charles Barkley's sitting there, and he's doing a spot for one of the betting sites. And he's got this little bobblehead Chuck audio thing. It's like a Siri, and it's Chuck GPT. You've got to see this. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. Chuck GPT keeps correcting him on his claims that he's like the number one rebounder in sports. And where am I on the scoring list? Oh, you're 31. You're about to be passed soon. And then
that's great.
What about on the celebrity golfer list? And Chuck GPT says, do you really want to know? And Barkley goes, no. It's fun.
I love it.
Anyway, got to see it. Speaking of Chuck, let's move on to the NBA. We're not going to go relive these games, but they've been pretty damn good. Let me ask you this, House. What about these playoffs so far tells you how a successful playoff team should be building to win in the playoffs?
I really think it's about the team game and assembling and gelling and coming together. I think what's holding the Cavs back right now is this team just does not have enough playoff experience. Individually, they've got a lot of talent, but this Pacer squad has been together, have run deep for the last couple of years. And yes, I'm surprised by what the Pacers are doing, but a lot of it just has to do with the chemistry. Now, you would say, well, why shouldn't the Warriors be handling the T-Wolves? Well, I mean, there I think it's a function of age. I think that the T-Wolves are just running faster and younger. I also think, and we've talked about this previously on the pod, I don't remember a time in a sport, in any of the major sports, where such a major trade has worked out so equally for both teams as the Knicks and the T-Wolves. They found the pieces that they needed. They were missing pieces for both of those teams. And those missing teams are getting them really, really close to playing for a conference championship. Everybody's shocked at how the Knicks are holding their own. We'll see if they can keep going. But the Knicks and the T-Wolves put themselves in this position by creating a team chemistry and filling those needs that they were missing. Kat has been major. And Randall's been perfect, the perfect fit for that team. So, I mean, it's a great win for both those teams.
You know, I was going to say that I had three things that I think are the key to building a winner, at least this year. And health was one of them.
Sure.
Golden State without Steph is nothing in this playoffs. They're too thin without Steph Curry. And I think the Cavs suffer from that to some degree also. Their big three were hurt for the first two games, and they may not be at 100%. But I think we all owe Milk an apology when we were talking about who's the most likely upset candidate, underdog candidate, because my other second of my three categories, like you said, House, is experience. Experience, playoff experience really counts. And as it turns out, teams like the Nuggets can't be counted out, you know, as long as they've got a healthy Murray and a healthy Joker. So, Milk, I'm sorry that we mocked you for picking the Nuggets.
I think that series is over, don't y'all? I mean,
in favor of the Thunder?
Yeah. I think once they tied it back up, but I mean, it was fun for a couple games, but
you never know.
I think that's going seven, and in game seven, like Rooster said, you give me Jokic and Murray and Gordon on that floor together and that experience, I would not want to be a Thunder fan going in game seven. Like, they should want to win the next two for sure. A game seven, even at home in Oklahoma City, you do not want to play those big three in game seven.
Now, my third thing, as a Knicks fan, I would say this, is that you need to have a clutch offensive player like Jalen Brunson and some lockdown defenders. And in this case, we have OG Bridges and Josh Hart. I think that some teams that are really good and probably better than the Knicks are coming up a little short because they don't have clutch. OKC is the best team in basketball by any metric, but their guys aren't coming up big in the clutch. They did last game, but they hadn't before. Celtics big two sucked ass in the first two games. They weren't clutch, but they look like they're coming back, and their bench players played a heck of a game in game three. I mean, unbelievable. So, yeah, I think it's a combination of things, and no matter how well everything is gelling as a team, injuries are going to affect the outcome. And I feel badly for Golden State. They were ahead in the fourth quarter, even without Steph and with Draymond Green in foul trouble. But they cannot beat Minnesota without Steph. They just can't do it.
The Knicks lose tonight. Rooster, is this series over?
I think so. I mean, I'm just so proud of them for even giving me a glimmer of hope that we might sweep the Celtics out of the playoffs. The Knicks are just relentless. They have less talent, but there is never a play that they take off. They play relentlessly, and you know, you just have to be proud of them if you're a fan of the Knicks. Nobody wants to play that team. They're coming at you hard all game.
But the other category that we left out is, again, and I've lamented for a while in this pod how Golden State changed the game permanently with the three-point shot and, you know, three-point dunks, especially at the college game, but even at the pro game, even in these playoffs, the difference between the Celtics and the Knicks was the Celtics cold shooting, not being able to hit the side of a barn from three versus getting it together in the last game. I mean, even with Golden State, with Step Out, this kid, whatever, that's just like this Podzimski kid that is an exquisite three-point shooter, that's what's keeping them around. All these teams, if they go cold shooting and they're like under 25% in three, they're done for the game. And that's why I think the Knicks can still, if they defend the perimeter and keep the Celtics with low 3% shooting, I think the Knicks can hang around this thing. Like you said, they're relentless. They're coming at you every single play. They're going to make the Celtics tired on offense because they have to constantly defend. It's like almost frantic the way the Knicks play. And that's a load.
Yeah, and the Celtics can't count on Peyton Pritchard hitting every single three-point shot that he takes like he did right in that last game. That was insanity.
Big game tonight.
Yeah, big, huge game tonight. We'll see. And who knows what Porzingis' health is. I don't know. It's a mystery. They're keeping that under lock and seal, whatever his illness is. All right, let's move on from the NBA. And I'd like to touch on the year that Aaron Judge is having right now. We're like a quarter Incredible. Of the way through the season. I know this hurts you, Milk, but we're a quarter of the way through the season, and Aaron Judge is on pace to hit 62 home runs, and he's batting .409. He got four hits last night. So the question that House posed to all of us by text is, can we just marvel at the amazing year that he's having? Or is he forever going to be judged, pardon the pun, by his recent playoff failures? What do you guys think?
First of all, hold on. I'm sorry. It's May 12th, right? And we're crowning this guy MVP of the season. It's unbelievable. I mean, he's okay. He's having a great start to the first month of the season. Anything can happen. It's an unbelievable month of baseball, but excuse me. By the way, he also didn't he just make an awful error again in center field, like last week.
Don't be a hater, Milk. Let's just assume for purposes of this discussion,
his defense leaves a lot to be desired.
He keeps up this torrid pace. Can you judge him based on his season, or are you always going to tear him down for last year's playoffs?
No, I'm saying his defense sucks. He's not a great center fielder by any
answer the question.
He should be in right field. I'll grant you that.
Thank you.
For a man his size to be even able to play center field is a miracle. Guy's 6'9".
He seriously dropped a routine fly ball again like last week.
All right, let me answer the question because this Rays fan is struggling, which I understand. I understand, but I feel like, I don't know what number pot it was last year, but we had a very similar conversation before the playoffs happened saying, will you look at the year that Aaron Judge is having? And in the playoffs, he couldn't see the baseball. Like, I don't know how many strikeouts there were. I'm not sure he batted 100 in the playoffs last year. And so he is definitely wearing that albatross. And it is, I mean, if Bison were on here, he would say, if he keeps anything close to this pace, it will be the most incredible offensive season in the history of baseball. And that's cool if you're all into like stats and everything like that. But I mean, second place is for losers. And Judge has been on this team for a long time, and he needs to carry this team beyond the regular season, beyond the gaudy stats, beyond, you know, sure. I mean, put this regular season in the Hall of Fame. That's great. And if another, you know, if the Guardians or the Rangers or whomever else comes out of the AL, what difference did it make? It's kind of like, sorry, Bison, it's kind of the same thing about Ovi. Like, this is the coolest thing ever, what he did with his goal scoring. But now he's got to step up now in the playoffs. He's got to make the season count for something. The same thing goes for Judge. This is going to be a really cool stat season, but Judge is going to be judged by what he does with this team in the playoffs this year. He's got to get that monkey off his back.
He needs to do what Brooks Robinson did. You remember the Mets won their very first World Series in 1969. That was against the Orioles, and Brooks Robinson was a huge star, and he batted .053 in the 1969 World Series and left lots of guys stranded. He was horrible. He went 1-for-19. But then the next year he batted .429 and was the World Series MVP, and that's all that anyone remembers about the great Brooks Robinson. So Aaron Judge can get that monkey off his back with one good year. But I'd like to point out, you know, this is not an Aaron Judge phenomenon. Mike Trout's playoff batting average is .083. The great Mike Schmidt, the best playoffs? Third baseman ever, played 36 playoff games and batted .236 with 4 home runs and 10 RBI. Mark McGwire played 42 playoff games and batted .217 with 5 home runs and 14 RBI. Ted Williams, maybe the greatest hitter of all time, played in one World Series in 1946 and batted .200, and they were all singles. Even Ty Cobb had a shitty playoff performance, batting 100 points less than his average. So it happens. I mean, it happens to the extent that when I was a kid, I remember George Steinbrenner referring to Dave Winfield as Mr. May, just to rub it in his face that Reggie was having a great playoff performance. Jackie Robinson had a bad performance in the playoffs. It's not unusual.
You know what Tony Gwynn batted in the playoffs? Over 300.
Okay. I'm just saying there are some...
He's rolling over in his grave right now.
I'm just saying there are some superstar players who deserve to be recognized as superstars who didn't do great in the playoffs. Justin Verlander, 0-for-6 in the World Series with a 5.68 ERA. Clayton Kershaw, we all have heard about his problems in the postseason. And Doc Gooden was 0-for-4 in the postseason with a 3.97 ERA. So, Aaron Judge is not alone. His greatness shouldn't be questioned. I really wish he would get the Schneid off his back and hit well this postseason, assuming they get in. And if he does, I think it'll be quickly forgotten what he did last year. Want to get some more hate in there, Milk?
I mean, you can't play the Rockies, you know, in the playoffs, unfortunately. So,
ooh. Yeah,
it's real competition.
And unfortunately, we can't play the Rays either this year in the playoffs.
Son of a bitch.
I have to get in because you guys would be sad and disappointed if I didn't get a Philadelphia angle in. I just want to comment that right now Aaron Judge is tied for the Major League Baseball lead in home runs. And so he can stand on the number one podium with Kyle Schwarber this week.
What's Kyle Schwarber's batting average right now?
According to Bison, our college baseball player and baseball aficionado, we don't care about batting average anymore.
Oh, okay.
That's just power, home runs. Yeah. It looks like the torpedo bats are working, so congrats. Yeah. Awesome. Good for Judge.
How's the one Rays player doing with that torpedo bat?
That guy's actually doing well, Milk.
Junior?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Well, he's also like one of our top prospects, so... Just let me be in my minor stadium, okay? Just let me be where we can't win.
I just want to make a special announcement for our guests. We're all celebrating the entry into this world of a new Pope, Pope Leo. And although it's about 29 minutes or so into the episode, I'm thrilled to announce that the Pope is joining us, albeit a little late. I'm not sure which language he's going to be speaking, whether it's going to be Latin, Spanish,
Latin?
Italian, or Texan. But
gibberish.
I think he's on. Pope, are you there?
Not visual, though.
Habemus Papam.
There he is.
Welcome.
The Pope is here.
Sorry I'm late, guys. I was actually assisting the Stars with their victory parade route, and I just got back.
Here we go.
And I'm happy to look forward to talking to you guys, and wherever you are, we'll pick it up. But how about the American Pope? And it's not me.
We're just talking about how overrated Aaron Judge is. So you joined at a great time.
Well, until he produces in the playoffs, you guys have a point. But my Lord, he's putting up incredible juggernaut offensive statistics this year.
He is. On May 12th, he's doing great.
But, I mean, look, it's just like I've been saying forever. Cowboys can go 17-0, and if they don't produce in the playoffs, it's another shitty year. So Judge will be judged come October.
That'll be our last Cowboys reference for several months, hopefully. And keeping things Catholic here, let's move on to the Saints. What a crazy draft the Saints had, considering that Derek Carr had an injury that was predictably going to at least keep him from playing this year. And instead of sitting out the year, he decided to retire. What do you guys think the Saints are up to? Milk, you've got to be happy with this situation.
I mean, I think they kind of knew, at least, maybe they didn't think he was going to retire, but certainly the injury was, I mean, they went pretty high. I think the 40th pick.
They did. They picked the third quarterback in the draft, right? How do you pronounce that guy's last name?
Tyler Shough.
I mean, Louisville?
Yeah.
I mean, is he, does he instill fear in the hearts of the
Bucks
fans?
By the way, you know he's 25 years old?
Yeah.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
Yeah. No, but I mean, I think he was, I recall before the draft, he was being talked about as a, you know, upper echelon quarterback, at least. I mean,
late riser.
Yeah. You know, he's top 40 pick. So, but I mean, I do wonder what was the, how shocked do you guys think the Saints were here? I mean, was this like, holy shit, I can't believe you're, what do you mean you're retiring? We had you penciled in as our starter. Or was he kind of saying, hey, look, guys, this might happen. You might want to draft a quarterback.
I think they were pretty surprised that the Saints have had 8 quarterbacks start games for them since Drew Brees retired. They are 31 and 37, those quarterbacks. Only 3 of them have a record over 500. They are Jameis Winston, who went 6-4 as a starting quarterback.
Wow.
Excuse me.
Taysom Hill, the tight end who went 4-1 as a starting quarterback.
He's good fantasy player.
He's not a quarterback.
Derek Carr with his lusty record of 14-13 as a starter. Now the Saints quarterback room is Tyler Shough, Jake Haener, and Spencer Rattler.
That's
Milk,
a shame.
If stout. You don't win both games against the Saints this year, you are running from Tampa to Philadelphia.
I'm not worried about that one. We will handle them nicely. More worried about the Falcons.
Tyler Shough reminds me of a young Derek Carr. He's got a live arm for
minus 202 million.
He's got a live arm, but he panics under pressure. Right.
But so hold
you give the guy some pressure, and he's making dumb plays. That's what I saw when
Derek
I was watching
Carr
Louisville.
The victim of being on the Raiders and bad teams? Because, I mean, if you look at his stats, they're not awful.
He had one good year, Derek Carr, 2016.
He had a good year throwing the ball to Davante Adams on the Raiders.
Right, you give him a good player. You know, like, who flourished with the Raiders at all? You know, that's just a bad franchise back then, especially when he got drafted.
He went 12-3 in 2016 with the Raiders, had 28 touchdowns and 6 interceptions, and was marching towards the playoffs, and he broke his leg in a game. I don't think he's really been the same since.
Because he had a shitty offensive line.
Terrible offensive line, not a lot of weapons, kept getting hurt. I think a healthy Derek Carr would have been a, you know, well above average quarterback in the NFL. But Pope's right. He made over $195 million in his career. So,
how many playoff wins?
Zero, right?
Zero.
Zero.
How many playoff games? Who
knows? Pope knows about that. He knows about overpaying quarterbacks with very minimal playoff output.
Absolutely. The story will be written upon, as Toby says, Dakota Prescott someday, that, and he'll have more money in his pocket than these guys with nothing to show. But
no,
don't we think,
year,
guys, that the Saints are going to go on the Arch Manning Tankathon?
I think so.
I mean,
it makes a lot of
Archie,
sense. Right?
Archie, the dad, played for the Saints.
I mean, he could totally revive. Imagine Arch on that team.
Oh, my God.
Story's not written for Arch, by the way.
Then
like
why use the 40th pick in the draft to take a quarterback?
Yes, and that's why I don't think they knew that Carr was retiring.
Well, because I also, let's see how Arch Manning does this year. Guy hasn't even actually started for an entire season in college football yet, but we've anointed him to be the greatest
that's
guy
fair.
Ever.
He's not even the top-ranked quarterback in some of the mock drafts you look at.
He's just a top earner.
Yeah,
top NIL guy.
Yeah. That's a tough spot to be in.
Well.
Oh, well.
Pope.
I don't feel sorry for them.
Pope, I said we weren't going to talk about the Cowboys again, but now that you brought it up, with George Pickens on the team, do you think Dak has any excuses not to have a big offensive year?
I mean, the offense is stacked, and they reinforced their O-line in the draft.
Wait a second.
Who's going to run the ball?
Who's your running back?
Well, like I said, they reinforced the O-line in the draft. Running back is still a question. They drafted the guy out of Texas, who I think they think, you know, is going to be a good third down type back. They don't have a good answer at running back yet. We'll see what happens at camp. But if you're talking about passing, obviously Dak's got a lot of weapons.
Well, that's what I think that Dak has got the weapons he needs at wide receiver and tight end. But when you know the Cowboys have to throw every single down because they have nobody who can run the ball, that puts a lot of pressure on Dak. Until they fix this problem in the backfield, and I'm shocked they really have not been more aggressive about fixing that. Pickens is nice. You know, Pickens and Lamb are a great duo. But, you know, I think a lot of – because the league has become a passing league, I think there are a lot of answers. I think there are two corners to cover two good wide receivers. The real question is when the team succeed, when you've got everything, backfield, tight end, and your wide receivers, like, you know, obviously the Eagles, even the Chiefs. I mean, there's so much unpredictability on the offense. The Cowboys are going to remain a predictable offense. There's a lot of pressure on Dakota.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Javonte Williams, I guess, is the leader in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not exactly a good look. Well, I mean, those guys knew they needed to draft a running back in the first three or four rounds, and they didn't. So, I mean, it's the Jones boys. Let's see what happens.
All right. Well, this is going to be a quick episode, fellas. Wrap up on the NFL, and let's move on to Punchable Face of the Week.
It's this week's Punchable Face.
I'm going to punch whoever the hell at NBC decided it would be a great idea to make Michael Jordan a broadcaster.
All right.
That's NBC is going to bring Jordan in as a special contributor next season for the NBA. And I can tell you right now that is going to be an utter failure. He's going to make Tom Brady look like the most, energized, entertaining broadcaster in the world. The guy can't talk about anything but himself. He's going to just beat down all other players. It's going to be terrible. And I just think, who didn't see that one coming, right?
I mean, are they thinking he's going to be in the studio show, kind of like Kenny Shaq and Chuck?
God, who knows?
Is that NBC trying to put together a studio show?
Who heard his Hall of Fame
of course, where he...
It was the worst thing I've ever heard in all of sports.
Yeah, he ripped his junior high school coach for cutting him.
He invited the guy who made the team freshman year ahead of him just so he could say, and look at you now, you're a failure, and look at who I am, and just rip the guy. He invites him to the Hall of Fame acceptance speech to humiliate him. It was the worst thing I've ever seen.
Maybe he humiliated him in high school.
Who cares?
I predict failure.
Michael Jordan is the all-time greatest basketball player and the all-time biggest dick when it comes to athletes. And I think he just can't change. You can't change a personality like that.
Speaking of Jordan and UNC, I'd like to punch, not that I'd punch a woman, the Belichicks, because I'm getting a little tired of all this shit. The latest report of the weekend was the girlfriend was banned from the facilities. They had to come out and say that wasn't true, but she still manages his marketing or whatever it was. So she'll still be around. This is going to be a train wreck. I could see UNC maybe winning three games next year.
How would you like to be his kids? What an embarrassment. It's awful.
I can't take it anymore.
Were the rumors true? Did they go to the Miss Maine USA contest?
She finished third in Miss Maine this weekend.
He was there.
I think he was.
Yeah,
in the
he
stand.
Was front row.
He was pretty sweet on another contestant.
Yeah, he and
saw that too.
He and Trump walked through the changing room together.
The Miss Maine pageant? to finish third. I mean, that's...
I think that's going to be a weekly punch probably as we get into the fall.
It's just weird.
I can't wait till she's on the sidelines during the games.
Yeah, give her a headset.
How about a lasso? Who's got a lasso?
I guess because the lasso originated in soccer. Again, we're heading towards the end of the European soccer season, all the leagues and all the tournaments. And if you're into soccer, you were really given a treat and continue to be given a treat right now in the Champions League. The combined leg semifinal of Inter Milan and Barca is about as good as you've ever seen in Champions League. They finished the first leg 3-3. The second leg went back and forth. It was pretty clear that when Barca scored in the 87th minute, they had clinched it. Inter got one in injury time and then in extra time won it. It was shocking. It was incredible. And it has set the stage for a PSG Inter Champions final, which, if it's even half of what the semifinals were, will be incredible. While that is happening in the Premier League in England, the last three places, 18, 19, and 20, get relegated. Just above that is 16 and 17. The 16th team, Manchester United, and the 17th team, Tottenham, have advanced to the finals of the Europa League. One of those is going to be playing in Champions League next year. To consider that two of the very worst teams in English football this year, actually one of them gets to be next year in Champions, is incredible. And so it's just, I think it's a lasso for the fans, really, because what's different than American sports is because of all these tournaments, keep hope alive. You can always compete. Even when you're out of the regular season, there's another competition that's out there. So to the fans of Tottenham and Manchester United and who was treated to Barca and PSG and Inter Milan, this one's for you. That's been it's been a hell of a tournament season this year.
When is the SMQB violence game, House?
So Pope's a Tottenham fan, and I'm a Manchester United fan, and we will be facing one another on Wednesday, March 21st at, I believe, 3 p.m. Eastern will be the Europa final in Bilbao, Spain. That should be pretty fun.
That's May 21st, but I got it.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, root for Moose's Leafs. Are they playing tonight? Tied up 2-2 with the Panthers?
I think they're off tonight.
They're going back to Toronto now, right?
All right.
Yeah, tonight you got to worry about Bison's Caps.
Yes.
They're in some trouble.
Yep.
They do not need to go down 3-1. And you got the Stars that have Winnipeg on the ropes. If they can win tomorrow night, yours truly be embed correspondent at that game. I will report from there. Looks like Stars might be going to the Western Finals.
Good luck.
Stanley Cup Pope reporting.
I think Edmonton gets it done tonight, too. Well, to take it to 3-1.
Who's got a buzzer beater?
On Thursday, September 4th, speaking of SMQ violence, the NFL made the brilliant decision to advance the SMQBs to a fun little competition called the NFL Season Opener, where the Eagles will host the Dallas Cowpokes in Philadelphia. And I mean, right now, the city of Philadelphia is just cackling with laughter that Jerry Jones gets to come in to Philadelphia and watch the Eagles raise a banner in his face. So Pope, come on up to the K-Lot. Looking forward to September 4th. We have one game out, and I believe the rest of the NFL schedule comes out this Wednesday, boys. I think we'll be talking about that next week.
Giants have the hardest schedule in all of football this year.
Well, don't they deserve that for being shitty last year?
I've got a buzzer. There was a history made Saturday in the Padres-Rockies game.
Oh, my God.
Steven Kolek pitched nine shutout innings, and his team backed him up with 21 runs. And so it was 21-0 Padres over the Rockies. First time in history that someone pitched nine innings of shutout and his team scored 20 runs. So you were dead on about the Rockies, Milk. Be nice to play them every game. They suck.
Yeah, and they fired their manager today, right? Or yesterday?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't do that. They're off to the worst start, I think, ever. Worse than the White Sox last year, which was hard to do.
Yeah. All right. Well, short and sweet, baby. We'll see everybody next week. Thanks, everyone.
All right, boys.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys. Later. Go Stars.